Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 19th of August, recording at 10:01 p.m. British Summer Time. That's later than usual due to a small glitch. I apologize for that. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights of today's activity. Asian stock markets were mostly weaker today. Some big hits in percentage terms, 2.25% approximately down in Japan, Hong Kong, and Australia. Now, China, which had been leading the way down, was slightly steadier in here today. The European stock markets were hit hard. Majority of declines were over 2%. Is actually everything on my screen was over 2% except for the SMI at Switzerland, and Stockholm had a whopping 4.25% decline. Wall Street also was down most of the day, and I'm sure you heard that. A surprising sneeze. But Wall Street also closing down on the day, 130 off in the Dow, 12 in the S&P, 32 in the NASDAQ composite. Okay, crude oil prices firmed a little bit after dropping to 111.64, still finding some support above that 110 level. Currently trading at 114.53. Natural gas is a little bit higher as well. That's been the weakest. U.S. dollar saw some easing in here today. It's currently trading at 140. The euro is currently trading at 147.86 against the dollar. The U.S. dollar index is currently down 362 points. And we saw, as the dollar weakened, we saw precious metals move higher after some seesaw activity overall. Gold's back up to 814, and the LME metals had a good rebound in here today. Agricultural commodities were mixed. I see coffee and sugar up, corn was up, wheat and soybeans down a little bit among the ones that I can see at the moment. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Obviously, very, very nervous conditions in global stock markets. And the rollover that we're seeing in bank indices is worrying. Mind you, they had a good short covering rally. It was mainly short covering due to the imposition of some of those restraints on short selling. And of course, they had been moving down very, very well, to very, very overextended levels, at least in the short term. Well, pretty overextended on any terms. So a very, very good bounce, but that really stalled in late July. And after a period of ranging, these bank indices are coming down once again. Now, that really has checked the technical rally that we had seen since the middle of July. Technical rally in most, although not all, stock markets, and some of the better of those technical rallies have been in Europe and also the USA. I would assume that those rallies have been capped. In other words, they're over, and those markets will struggle to maintain their gains since mid-July unless there's some catalyst which turns the bank sectors, the bank shares, around again. Now, what might that catalyst be? It's certainly not going to be economic data, which is fairly diabolical. Elements of the perfect storm are still in place, although not the runaway commodities on the upside, but the shock effects of those moves, particularly the spike in energy prices, is inevitably going to, well, they will inevitably linger for a number of months at least. And when we have had oil spikes in the past, there haven't been that many. I think there was one in about 1918, 1919, 1920. And then the one I remember having lived through it in the earlier years of my career, when the spikes that we saw in the 70s and in 1980, they caused recessions. And this is unlikely to be any different. So, yes, oil has peaked, certainly for the lengthy medium term, due largely to demand destruction. But say the shock to the system, the damage is already done, and that requires a convalescence process, and it also requires a switch in policy by central banks. I've been mentioning this on an almost daily basis, but I think that we won't. The catalyst that I'm looking for, which will firm up a floor under stock markets, which are still testing the downside in many instances, and where downside risks still remain pretty well in all stock markets. We need to see the central banks basically switch from very vociferously targeting inflation to targeting recession. And I think they will do that in an effort to stimulate global GDP growth. Obviously, they want to get the inflation genie back in the bottle, but not at the cost of tipping their economies into the equivalent of what Japan experienced during the 1990s and earlier this decade. And you could say that I think quite accurately that Japan has yet to come out of that sort of slough of despond, come out totally from it at any rate. So I expect from next month we'll start to see those interest rate cuts, and depending on who's doing the cuts, I don't think it'll be the US. So that means that it's the next most important central bank for those cuts among the OECD countries, because Japan isn't going to be able to cut rates, will be the ECB. And I think the UK would probably follow the ECB's lead, and it really ought to, because the recession pressures are growing. I think China will start cutting interest rates fairly soon, and probably needs to. India's done a little better, but I think there'll certainly be pressure to cut rates there. Australia is talking today about cutting interest rates, the Reserve Bank of Australia, that is. New Zealand's already cut rates, but we shouldn't expect markets to soar on the first interest rate cuts. But what will be crucial is that once investors see, or at least sense, that we're going to get a series of rate cuts from leading central banks, and that they have clearly shifted their policy from fighting inflation to fighting recession, then I think we will see more sustainable floors established for global stock markets. So right now, this is still a tricky, risky period for investors. I think those of us who are willing to take the long-term view with our investment portfolios, whether you're in high-yielding funds or fuller money themes, as I am, that if you're willing to take the long view, then we can see beyond whatever additional downside risk may exist. And I would certainly expect these stock markets to be higher in 2 or 3 years' time, and some of them will be vastly higher, I suspect, in 2 or 3 years, 3 years' time, and not least among fuller money themes. But in the meantime, some of those Asian markets are actually leading the way down. Now, what else? Bonds have had an awfully good run in here recently. I don't like the Treasury bond bonds for their because of their low long-term yields. I think those who do their fundamental due diligence and find corporate bonds where the interest rate can be maintained and the capital eventually redeemed, some of those offer quite attractive yields today. But the treasuries have done very well recently because of people's concern over the recession fears, and that may. And also their concern over the weakness of stock markets. So that may persist a while longer, although, as I've said before, I think once confidence improves in stock markets beyond a technical rally, and certainly once global GDP growth begins to firm up again, and that's not going to happen soon, though, I think we have to get well into 2009 and possibly beyond before we see that. And then I think those bonds will be vulnerable. Now, stock markets being discounting mechanisms would move up more quickly, and I think actually the strength of bond prices, long-dated government bond prices, is actually favorable for stock markets, because as those long-dated government bond yields come down, they will, and people are willing to look beyond that temporary safe haven status, the low long-dated government bond yields will make the equity market look more attractive. Okay, what else to mention in here? The U.S. dollar. Blitzingly good rally, but overextended, as I've said before. I think that the fundamental underpinnings for that dollar are suspect. I know anybody who's looking at a strong move can come up with all sorts of post-facto rationalizations to explain why it's occurred. You just pick up the press and you'll see that, because people always and provide seemingly logical explanations for any move. But it'll be very interesting to see how well this does hold up. My view all along on this was that I was a skeptic that the dollar could see more than a good short covering rally. I do feel that we had some intervention from the US, quiet intervention, and that has certainly helped to put a medium-term floor under the US dollar, but these gains look overextended to me, and I expect at least a partial retracement. And if the dollar starts to move back into some of its previous trading ranges, I think that will be supporting my hypothesis that the fundamental underpinnings for this dollar, with its very low interest rates, with the US's massive trade, beg your pardon, budget deficit, government deficit, which is only going to widen as we go, as tax revenues remain, or receipts rather, remain relatively low, and public expenditures actually increase through this year, and I think almost certainly with the new Barack administration. Barack Obama administration, which I expect. This is not a healthy background for the US dollar overall, and there are plenty of them around, as you know. Okay. Commodity markets. There's a possibility that we will see some of these very depressed metals, such as zinc and nickel, appreciate over the medium to longer term. I thought that was going to happen sooner, and it didn't, but we're starting to see production cuts in nickel. Owen's done a piece on that here today, and that's very interesting. You don't have to look very far to see examples of look very far back to see examples of commodities that absolutely soared on some supply shortages. But that occurred at a time when everybody and his grandmother was punting in the commodity markets. That's not the case today, and I don't think it will be for a good many months, quite possibly a year or two, or even a little bit more in some individual instances. Precious metals, meanwhile, look overextended on the downside, and they've certainly checked those declines. The patterns, though, have done some damage, as I mentioned before, and I don't think they can support more than a technical rally. But that certainly looks to be on the cards. Crude oil continues to find a little bit of support above this $110 level, but I doubt that there's much big upside here now, although a softer dollar would firm it up a little bit. I still think that with or without a firm US dollar, that we will see crude back below $100 and probably before the end of the year. I don't expect it to stay there beyond the short to medium term, but I think it's such a move is still on the cards given the global economic slowdown. And that's pretty much it. I want to, so again, apologies for the late audio, and I'll get cracking on the comment of the day update as well. Okay, bye-bye.